Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number one.
All right, the Astros, they look to even the series up today. And Clint, the lineups are out. This is hot off the presses. And it goes as followed. Jose Altuve will remain in the leadoff spot, even though he has been struggling mightily, especially since the ALCS. Brantley, who had three hits last night, is in the two spot. Bregman remains in the three spot. Yordan, Correa, Tucker, Yuli, and not a shocker, Jose Siri gets the start in center field tonight. The musical cheers continue, and Martín Maldonado is catching. I know you were looking for a potential shakeup in the lineup. It looks like Dusty is going to go with the same lineup outside of having Siri in instead of Chaz McCormick.
Yeah, look, I thought it would be a great move to move Bregman out of the three hole when you've got Yuli and Tucker swinging the bat so well behind him. I would have made that move. I think you're guaranteed three more games. At this point in time, it's who's producing. I think Bregman is struggling mightily not just the numbers, but when you watch him at the plate, he appears to be lost. He appears to lack confidence at the plate. So much so, again, to the post-game show, hell, they recognized it and asked him about it. And so I thought it would have been a good time to make a move. I personally would have made a move. Clearly, Dusty doesn't feel that way. We'll see if Bregman can't snap out of this slump, if you will, and start swinging the bat a little bit more confidently and getting better at bats.
Yeah, I think when we had Bob Nightingale on, if you missed that Use the Odyssey Rewind feature, he was on with us around 2:15. So go check that out. We talked to him about that because I think the issues of the lineup and some of the struggles, and not just the struggles, but more as important, the success that guys that are having lower in the lineup, like Yuli, who had another two hits, and outside of that awful slide he had, he may have had a double or close to a home run. And then obviously Kyle Tucker is hidden. So as much as to maybe bring those guys up more than to bring the others down, I think when he talked about with Dusty, he said he doesn't think it'll be a panic move. And I think that's probably the situation here is don't want to panic. Don't want to have him have the team view this as a panic move. And I think that probably had a lot to go into it with Dusty. And I would wonder to say this, though, too. Along with that, now we know the game two starters, Jose Urquidy and Max Fried. That's going to be a big deal for Urquidy tonight. The last time he pitched, Clint, he got five outs. He got five outs, and after what Framber's disaster yesterday, getting seven outs and getting bounced in the second or in the third inning, only going two innings, you need something more from Jose Urquidy than the five outs he gave you last time.
Absolutely. I mean, if the Astros are going to keep the advantage in terms of really only having one scheduled bullpen game, right, you're going to keep that advantage because, as you mentioned earlier, there's a chance that the Braves could – they're going to have two, if not three, moving forward potentially. And so, look, I look at it as if the Astros starters moving forward can just chew up some innings. Again, I mean, just get me out of the third. Get into the fourth, and let's see what happens at that point in time. Hell, these guys bouncing out before they ever get nine outs is going to end up being a major issue when in reality the bullpen should be an advantage given what Atlanta's having to deal with. If the Astros starters keep this trend of every other start, boy, the wheels come off, it could end up leveling the playing field in terms of the bullpen. So, yeah, it's important that Jose Urquidy does well tonight. It's important that he chews up some innings, no question about it. Hell, to get the series back to 1-1, but I think it's important moving forward long term just to make sure that the Astros bullpen doesn't get taxed. I mean, they've been kicking ass now. Who would have thought that the Astros bullpen after this season would end up being the strong suit, literally the only consistent thing, the only strong suit throughout the entire playoffs to this point has been what was the weakness we all assumed coming into the playoffs, the bullpen. So I think it's important that Urquidy pitches well tonight to get the W, obviously, but also to keep that bullpen from getting taxed.
No pun intended, but you got a huge break last night if you're the Astros. Charlie Morton breaking his leg is a huge break for this series because this takes – you knew your lead guy probably 2 weeks ago wasn't going to be able to pitch in the World Series in Lance McCullers. They just found out last night that their top guy who started every series they've had, except for the Dodger one because he closed out the Brewer one, he's not going to be available. Yeah. And that can be a huge deal. It's especially a huge deal if you don't have to have a bullpen game again tonight. If you get something from your starter and now you don't have to use Javier or Greinke and you have all your bullets, now it really becomes an advantage if your starter goes because they only have two starters now. Two guys. Well, they've got two guys, Clint, that have thrown more than 50 pitches since September.
Yeah, look, it's easy, right? I mean, they came into the series. The Astros had three starters, and the Braves had three starters. Regardless, not even talking about caliber. We don't need to get that deep into it, right, in terms of this conversation. Each team had three starters and was planning on a bullpen game in Game 4, whatever that looks like. Charlie Morton going out turned last night into a bullpen game for the Braves.
Yep.
And means they've got two starters moving forward to get through a six-game stretch. They're going to have at the very least two more bullpen games. Well, let me
unless
say this.
Unless the Astros get swept.
Right, unless the Astros get swept. They're going to have two more, if not three, bullpen starts. And so it's changed the game entirely. It's changed the series, right, for the Astros to where you can say pitching is an advantage in terms of just the numbers, not the caliber pitchers, but just the numbers. The Astros have three starters that they can lean on. The Astros have, with Odorizzi pitching the way he did last night, you got him, Javier, and Greinke in terms of a bullpen game that to fill that starting role. So I got to think that right now the advantage in a crazy way with a pitching staff top to bottom is advantage Astros, and that's hard to think. I mean, it's hard to fathom after what we watched Framber Valdez do last night.
I want to continue to remind our listeners that yesterday Robert Flores guaranteed that the Astros won't lose any home games or won't lose all their home games in this year's World Series. He said he can guarantee that. All right, Flores.
Well, they've lost five straight home World Series games, and I don't think they're the first team to ever do it. I think the last team to do it was the Atlanta Braves back in late 90s, 98, 99, whenever that 99. Was. But it's been a long time since they've lost five straight. So yeah, they need this one in a big way. Yeah. We need to end runs like that right there of losing World Series games at home. That's for damn
right.
Sure.
Let's see if they can get it right tonight.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, David Culley, he spoke to the media today, and he spoke about his quarterback situation involving Davis Mills and Tyrod Taylor.
We'll designate him as a return. As far as the status for the game, that's still up in the air right now. Davis will get the reps today. Tyrod, we're just easing him back into practice just to see where he's at. Tyrod's a veteran. He's been around here. He doesn't have to have all the reps. Davis needs the reps. If Davis is going to be playing this week as our starting quarterback, and right now he is, if Tyrod cannot go, he's going to be the quarterback. Tyrod doesn't have to have those reps. If we knew Tyrod was healthy to play going into this week, then he would get those reps. As we move into the week, we feel good about where Tyrod is at, then we'll give him some of his reps. But him being a veteran quarterback, that's not an issue.
That's right. He doesn't need as many reps. And there's been reports all throughout the day that Tyrod Taylor was at practice moving around today. And John McClain yesterday or the other day said he reports that he believes that Tyrod Taylor will be the starter coming up on Sunday. Heard from the coach now, Clint.
Yeah. I mean, I told Sean Sunday night that I would be shocked if Tyrod Taylor started this week, and I'll be damned. You know, all we've heard is, man, when Tyrod's healthy, he's a starting quarterback. Well, he's healthy enough to go back to practice, but now we're going to ease him back in on Rams week. We're just going to ease him back in, and we're just going to give him a few reps here and there, and we'll decide down the road. Number one, I think it's clear Tyrod Taylor is not going to start against the Rams this week. It is not ideal.
Clear to you.
It's clear. I mean, it's not ideal for Tyrod Taylor to be out for a month and then return for this football team with what we've seen and throw that guy on the field against the Rams, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, and that crew. I mean, it never made sense. It doesn't make sense now. And the Texans' plan, David Culley's plan, is coming more and more clear by day, right? He's not even getting starter reps, number one. Number two, David Culley's dead wrong. right? There is no way that Tyrod Taylor sits out and does absolutely nothing for a month to 5 weeks, and then your take throughout, oh, he don't need reps, man. He's a veteran. He don't need reps. No, he needs – if whoever is going to be on the quarterback on Sunday
needs the reps.
Needs the reps. Right? I mean, there's no
– Even if he's a veteran, he doesn't
need it. The only way this offense gets worse is if your quarterback doesn't get reps throughout the week, whether it's Tyrod Taylor or Davis Mills. Yeah, you need the reps. Absolutely 100% you need the reps. No, any way you slice it. If Tyrod Taylor doesn't get reps today, he's not healthy enough to get reps today, and he's not healthy enough to get reps tomorrow, and then all of a sudden Friday it feels good enough to where he gets some reps, to play him would be crazy. It would be crazy to play him against anybody, much less the Rams.
All right, that's Clint's story. He's sticking to it. Tyrod Taylor, he'd be shocked if he starts. Davis Mills be under center for the Texans on Sunday.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, a lot of stuff happening with the Deshaun front. We talked about the Panthers saying they're out because he will only waive his no-trade clause for the Dolphins. The commissioner, Roger Goodell, was in New York speaking and actually addressed potentially where the NFL is when it comes to the legal part of it.
Roger, what can you tell us about the status of the Deshaun Watson investigation and specifically what it is about his case that hasn't risen to the level of putting him on commissioner's exempt list?
There obviously are other, I'll call it legal approaches that are being made either through civil cases. Obviously, the police have been investigating also. We don't have all the access to that information at this point in time, and we pride ourselves on not interfering in that, being cooperative as we can to make sure we get all the facts. But I think that process is still ongoing. And until that process is ongoing and we have enough data and enough information to be able to make a determination of whether he should go on commissioner exempt, we don't feel that we have that necessary information at this point.
All right, there he is. And I know you've been talking and wondering if he does get traded and is eligible to play, if the league would step in. It seems like Roger is still kind of pushing to a point where he may not step in.
Well, look, I mean, that the reason that's relevant right now and reason it matters is because the owner of the Miami Dolphins, at least what's being reported, part of what he's asking or what he needs is, one, he needs Deshaun to settle, and two, he needs the commissioner to acknowledge that he's not going to put him on the commissioner's exempt list the minute that another team gets him and tries to play him. And so Roger Goodell was asked about it, and it doesn't seem – now, he didn't just flat out say, I'm not going to do it, but I do think at this point in time he did answer the question of, right now, we're not going to put him on the exempt list no matter who he's with, no matter if he's on the field. We don't have the ability, we don't have the information to keep him off the field right now as we sit today. So I think that wasn't just a random question. The fact that it's coming on the heels of a trade deadline where – I think the Miami Dolphins owner is pretty adamant about gathering as much information as he can of what's going to happen if he does acquire the quarterback.
All right. Jose Urquidy gets the ball tonight in a huge, huge start to avoid going down 0-2 and heading back to Atlanta in the World Series. He spoke to the media, and he lets you know exactly how he's feeling about his start tonight. We'll let you hear that next.
It's Sports Radio 610, live from outside Minute Maid Park at the corner of Crawford and Congress for tonight's Game 2 of the World Series. Here's Clint Sterner in the show.
This ought to be interesting. Clint, we're about to lose Clint here. The Clydesdales have arrived right in front of us, and Clint seems to be very, very entertained. Have you never seen them before? Have you ever seen them?
Hell yeah, I've seen them. But I mean, I don't mean I don't greatly appreciate them every time they reappear. I mean, them things are beautiful, man. That's a big, beautiful truck, too.
It is. It's a beaut that they got them into.
My man in the security right here, he moved them cones about 3 inches, and them old Clydesdales drivers got out and said, I need 4 lanes to back this big red beauty in here.
There we go, man. You know, it is the World Series about here. You only catch this when you're out here live with us on the corner of Congress and Crawford.
Come on.
You get to see this. We lost Tyler. Tyler, another grown-ass man who is influenced and is touched by the Clydesdales. Just like Clint,
you know a guy like this was interesting. We live in this world where we spend a lot of time on our phones, right? You know when a guy has completely tuned out the rest of the world when he's staring at his phone and he loses all of his posture. Look at his butt's tucked, his shoulders are slumped.
Well, he's a butt tucker.
I mean, he is, there you go, bro.
There he is.
Get back upright and get them shoulders back. There you go.
There he is. There he is. All right, the starter for game two tonight, Jose Urquidy. This is a big game. You don't have to give a low wave. You can give a You can give a high wave.
She got her AC may be sprained. Show, leave her alone, man.
I said sprained AC.
Sprained AC joint, man.
There we go, baby. Thank you for everything you do.
That's right, Ghost Rose. Appreciate what you guys do, man. Oh, come on.
All right, Ed, catch that ball now. Get them hands. A good hands catch, too. Yeah, that's right, man. There you go. Good hands catch. Clint throwing to Houston's finest out here.
That's a legit silver bullet right there. I got a football that's the Coors Light football. It's a silver bullet, man.
That's right. All right, Jose Urquidy, he's pitching tonight. And he's talking about his start compared to his first start in the World Series. This will be the next time he starts. This was Jose Urquidy tonight.
I was a little nervous. I mean, in the first inning, I think I was a little nervous. But I think in the second inning, I started to feel more confidence on me. Chirinos was catching me that day, and he was talking with me about just be concentrated and be focused on my throws. And I mean, right now, no, I'm very happy for compete. I'm very excited for pitch tomorrow, and I will try to enjoy all the game and try to be focused all the time.
All right, that's Jose Urquidy, who's getting the ball tonight, and it'll be interesting because this is the first time we've seen him pitch since apparently pitching coach for the Astros Brent Strom start throwing his magic pixie dust on different pitchers. Now I don't know what the hell happened last night to Framber, but The next time we watched Framber start, he pitched well against the Boston Red Sox. And then the next time we saw Luis Garcia pitch, he pitched fantastic against the Red Sox in the closeout game. He's in each case with both of those guys, something was found, something changed. It'll be interesting to see if we see a different Jose Urquidy because the five outs he got in the last game is just not going to get it done tonight.
Boy, you hope like hell you see a different Jose Urquidy, that's for sure. You hope that whatever it is that Brent Strom – corrected with Framber Valdez and Luis Garcia in the Red Sox series and the change that they made from one start to the other. You hope the same thing can happen for Jose Urquidy. And now I know some people look at me like I'm crazy because they think they're talking about last night's performance by Framber Valdez. No, we're talking about the eight-inning outing in the Red Sox series. So, you hope that he can turn things around the same way that those other youngsters did in their second start since the ALCS started. So, it's a big night, and the pressure's on Jose Urquidy. Hell, if he was nervous his last outing in the Red Sox series, I hope he gets it together tonight. That's for damn sure.
Hell yeah. Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley. Jose Urquidy getting the ball tonight. He speaks about being honored to play in this game, and he knows how important it is for them to get a win tonight.
Means a lot for me, for sure. That's going to be a big game for me, for the team. But I know that I have to win. My last outing was for sure bad. I know bad days, good days, and I'm very excited for compete. I know that a lot of people's gonna watching me for sure, but I'm gonna do my best. I'm gonna compete 100%, and I want to win for sure.
All right, he said he wants to win. Knows he needs to pick it up and win. I listen to that and I think about him on the mound. How important it is. Is this like must win to you? Have we reached that point in this start? Like, how big a deal is this? You know, you don't want to go down 0-2 because you could not come back here.
Well, with this lineup, it's hard for me to think this is a must win, right? I mean, it's obviously an important game, and it'd be in their best interest to tie this thing up 1-1 before you head to Atlanta for three. But with this lineup, as long as everybody's healthy, I don't think it's a must win. But as much as it is a like Urquidy's got to be a big part of the run, and so I think he needs to perform well in a major, major way. I think they could rebound if they did go down 0-2, but it would be hard to make that run if Jose Urquidy, if the wheels are coming off him and Framber Valdez the way they came off Framber last night.
I wouldn't say must win. I think that Charlie the move last night. Maybe stops that, and the way the bullpen pitch makes you feel like they can still be in it with their bats. But as you said, man, they damn sure need to come close to getting that one.
How you feel about my three innings, my nine outs for these guys? How that would have been nice last night,
last
wouldn't
night,
it?
Boy, I was looking at that. I said, Clint ain't going to get these three innings now. Clint ain't going to get these three innings.
Hey, I just need nine outs, man. I was tongue-in-cheek last night. I thought we were beyond that, but
we get that.
I thought it was a lucky thing. Hell, I'm right back at it right now, man. I need nine outs. I need nine outs from Jose Urquidy. and then I'll get me another beer, and then we'll pop another top, and we'll see what can happen in the fourth inning on. Man, I need nine out of Jose Urquidy. I'm not asking anything more, brother.
Clint Sterner, Ron, the show out here outside of Minute Maid on the corner of Crawford and Congress. As the Clydesdales are out, people are out here early getting ready. We got people out here playing catch with the silver bullet.
Silver
football.
Bullets, baby.
We having a good time out here. All right, I gotta let you hear this because David Culley spoke today, and this feels like it goes into complete contrast on what we've watched. But you know football better than I do, and what offensive coaches and guys try to do. But this was David Culley speaking to the media today. Breaking down what he believes in terms of them trying to go after explosive plays on the field. Here's David Culley.
No, we're trying to get those explosive plays. We just haven't done that. And again, being behind the chains have also had an effect on how we approach getting the ball down the field. If we had stayed above the chains in first and second downs a lot more than what we had been, we'd be getting the ball down the field. But we're trying to get back to manageable situations, and more so than trying to get the ball down the field.
Do you buy that, Clint? Do you buy, like, especially in this game we just watched against the Cardinals, where they lost 31-5, do you buy that they are actually trying for explosive plays, and the reason why they're not is because the down and distance and they're behind the chains? Are you buying
that? Look, I think just like, you know, every team, that they've got explosives drawn up, and yeah, they would like to hit them, and maybe they do dial them up, and but teams are going to play soft coverage. They're going to play bend, don't break. They're going to force them to run the football versus a 5 or 6 or 7-man front, depending on what personnel they're in. They're going to force Davis Mills to check the football down, and that's the way they're going to limit the Texans' ability to move the ball and score points. And so I don't doubt that there's not a want to. I don't doubt that there's not shots in the game plan. I just wish David Culley for once would say, look, man, y'all are talking about shot plays post-game. Like, we're just trying to block somebody up and get a run game going, man. We're just trying to get somebody open in a critical situation. We're just trying to consistently run the football. We're just trying to become a physical football team. We're trying to learn how to play cover two. You know, I mean, it's not rocket science. I mean, you're not a very good football team. There's more to this thing than penalties and being behind the chains. I mean, you look at Arizona, they had 7 penalties. They were behind the chains multiple times, but they have the ability to get out of it, right? They have the ability to get out of it. And so, you know, they're probably not the more aggressive play calling football team in the league, but do they have, I don't want to question the desire to create explosives in the how many they have in their playbook or don't have in their game plan. But there's just the reason they're not getting explosives isn't because Titus Howard jumped on first and 10.
He said, we're trying. I want to believe that. But then when you come out and say after the game, but Davis Mills is doing everything we want him to do. And Davis Mills is not trying. Many of the times I'm watching, Davis Mills is getting that ball out before there's even a chance for anybody to even run.
Right. There's you another. I mean, it's multiple choice. I mean, pick your response to that question. Hey, guys, we got a rookie quarterback that's turning the football over too much, man. We're trying to get him to be disciplined. Or, hey, how about this? Hey, did y'all watch my right guard last week? Did y'all watch my right guard and my right tackle get their ass whooped for the first quarter and against J.J. Watt and a really good Arizona defense? I mean, we're not worried about explosives. We're trying to do the simple things savagely well. I mean, that's just where my mindset is, and not, I mean, because there's nobody that covers this football team that sits around and goes, boy, they should be getting a bunch of explosive plays. They're that good. They should be getting a bunch of explosive plays.
Tell me you're trying.
Right? I mean, you're not. I mean, that's not a priority. Yeah. Hell, there's a lot of other things that go wrong on Sunday that probably need to be addressed, and so. I wish David Culley would hit him with a little bit of that every now and then. He's not going to. I mean, he's a nice dude. He's not going to. He's obviously not going to ruffle any feathers. But I'd like to hear it.
No, I bet you would. Clint Sterner, Ron, the show right here outside of Minute Maid. Listen, the Astros, they may have lost last night, but they may have been in position to win the war. They've got a real opportunity because of what happened last night, which is now could be the story of the series. We'll discuss that next.
It's Sports Radio 610, live from outside Minute Maid Park at the corner of Crawford and Congress for tonight's Game 2 of the World Series. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, the big story right now from the World Series, besides that the Braves lead 1-0, is that the Braves lost the guy that they wanted to start all of their game, all their series with, and that's Charlie Morton. He is out for the playoffs with a broken leg, they weren't able to take advantage of it yesterday. They weren't able to take advantage of the bullpen game yesterday because their starting pitcher. Let me get this. If you had a word to describe the Astros starting pitching yesterday, what would your word be, Clint?
Embarrassing.
I feel like there are several in there that you're going to go to.
Yeah, I mean, there's some I can't say on the radio. The boss probably wouldn't appreciate it. I let the old crap word slip yesterday, and I think I may have got in trouble. But
embarrassing.
That's embarrassing, man. I mean, it's just like when you look at the difference between Framber Valdez yesterday and the Framber Valdez that we saw go 8 innings, there's no excuse to go out there and it's one thing to perform that way. Like, guys have bad nights. But like you said, I mean, it was – like overwhelmed in the moment, no confidence, deer in the headlights, timid, trying to guide the football, the baseball, and you just, I don't know, I think Framber, at some point, Framber Valdez has to be beyond that kind of stuff. Again, a bad outing, so be it, but go out there and just be completely overwhelmed in the moment and not be able to handle the adversity of giving up a home run to the first hitter, even though it's the first time it's the first time it's ever happened in history. Mm-hmm. I think you got to expect more from Framber Valdez, and I think those kind of performance when they unfold that way, I mean, embarrassing.
When you're out there setting records, one first time ever, the first swing from the first batter in the World Series is a homer. Also, the first time ever a team in Game 1 just scores in each of the first 3 innings.
Yeah.
Like, you're down 5-0 before, it's 2-0 before Altuve steps in the box. That I think what you just talked about is the biggest disappointment with Framber. Is, I've been saying it, and I've stood on mountaintops and yelled that Framber's the best pitcher on this team. Even when Zach Greinke was off, I was like, because what we've seen of him is the big moment is never an issue for him. He seems to be calm. Almost in that Zen mood or whatever. We never noticed that. Oh, he was shook yesterday. When he got to throwing 2-0, obviously starting behind guys, but then when he gave up that home run, his whole mindset of aggressiveness, that was out the window. Like, he's starting to – God, I don't mean to be disrespectful to him, but he's starting to remind me of my son.
Of who?
Trey. Little show. My son – in sports, when it's all going good, oh, man, he is. He's got it, baby. Right now, we're in a moment battling. We get a little adversity. We lose him for maybe a quarter. We lost him for about two possessions last week. He gets a holding call on him. Hey, it's hard for him to shake it off.
Yeah.
They hit that homer off of Framber. He was shook, wasn't aggressive at all. Again, he's behind in the count. In that game against Boston, the 8-inning game, I think I was watching MLB Network. Harold Reynolds did a great job showing it. He was probably throwing pitches on average 15 seconds after each other. Like, he's not waiting. He's getting the ball from Maldonado and, bam, getting right back on there and ready to go. They had players for the Red Sox trying to, mess up his timing, but stop. Nope, he's stepping right in. Yesterday, he's walking around the mound. You can visibly see, he's not there. Like, there's something going on up there. And that was crazy. We heard Bob say it earlier. Bob Nightingale was with us, and he was nervous. Or he was, it was weird. And I was just like, that's just something that you didn't expect from Framber Valdez. He hadn't shown that. That was to me, the most disappointing part of his start yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's disappointing that he's not beyond that. You think the first struggle early in the ALCS was maybe they're tipping pitches, maybe it was just a bad outing, and then he comes out and gets back on track, and then boom, we fall right back. Like I said, it's either the penthouse or the outhouse. I mean, literally the elevator stopping nowhere in between, the penthouse and the outhouse.
No,
I mean, that's
15th.
That's it, baby. I mean,
first or 30th.
And that's fine. Look, I mean, because if he's going to come back in his next outing in this particular series and he goes hard in the paint and gives you eight, hey, I'm good with it, man. I mean, if every other outing is going to be like that, let's get that bad one out of the way early like Fromber did last night. So, yeah, there's clearly something wrong there. Clearly – he's at a point in his career where, man, if he gets off to a good start and really lights it up in the first inning, he can carry that momentum into you know, the third and the fifth and the sixth and even the eighth like he did last outing. But, boy, that little bit of adversity early, man, it hurts. And so he's got to get beyond that. They're all young. We'll see how they handle it moving forward. No question about it, that was a tough one to watch last night, especially on the Fromber Valdez front. I know Fromber was bad. But I watched that game last night, and I don't want to hear nothing about no damn pitching. If you can't score more than two runs, then I mean, you don't have a chance. This baseball team has to be able to go out there and consistently put pressure on the opponent. And there was men in running position. They were 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position last night. And it wasn't just one guy consistently. All the big names were 0-for-1. Yuli Gurriel was 1-for-1. All the big names in this lineup were 0-for-1 with runners in scoring position. It wasn't because there wasn't opportunities with runners in scoring position. It's because this lineup didn't answer the bell with runners in scoring position. So as bad as Fromber Valdez was last night, the bullpen comes in and locks
in the game.
I mean, locks them up. And you think about it, the Astros last night, I'm sitting there and with my crew watching, I'm like, man, you get runners on first, and I'm like, man, you're a double in the gap away from being back in this thing. It's 5-3. That's all you need, man. You need one swing of the bat, you're back in this thing. And then, boom, you get guys that don't even make contact. You get guys popping up to the infield. And I'm talking about, again, guys that you heavily depend on if you're going to be able to make a World Series run to remember. And so that's the story to me, Show, is disappointed in Fromber, absolutely.
You so hope the he's bigger thing it. For you is this.
The bigger thing for me is this lineup can't give you two. I mean, it just can't be not in a game where you knock the damn starter that's been an Astro killer since he left the damn organization. You knock him off the mound on a Yuli line drive up the middle, you break his damn leg, and you get him to a situation where they're going to have to roll through multiple pitchers, and you give him two? Yeah, man, and it wasn't a lock them up type of performance from their bullpen.
We just saw something we haven't really seen a ton from this team in this run. And I mean, when I say this run, this 5-plus-year run, and in this run in the postseason, they just were unable to come up with the big hit. Like they
multiple times.
Like multiple times. They just had we all know the damage they've done. They're setting records right now in terms of what they do with two outs and how many runs they've scored in this postseason with two outs.
Yep.
Yesterday they just couldn't come up with it. I mean, Chad, but they just, like, I understand what you're saying, some of the guys, but they kept having, like, Chaz McCormick kept getting up.
He had two of them. They were 1-for-9, and two of them were him.
Him, he kept coming up. And then you thought, oh, they got the break with the error that Swanson committed, the shortstop. Yep. And then who's up?
Maldonado, I believe it was, wasn't it? Yeah.
And then he's up. And it's like, damn, just can't,
but
like.
But if you look at the box score, though, Show, Correa had a shot. Tucker had a shot. Tucker had a shot. Bases juiced in the first inning.
Yeah, Correa walks in the first inning, sets it up for Tucker, yeah. and then Ozzie made a great play.
All the big names. Alvarez had a shot. Correa had a shot. Altuve had a shot. It was like they were all spread out in damn near every.
Altuve's the one that really hurt. The runner's there in scoring position, and he popped right up.
Yeah, 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 to
the
infield. Yeah.
Because you know he's going to swing first pitch, no matter where the hell it is. That thing was 4 or 5 inches inside.
Yeah.
Of the plate, and he's coming up hacking. And it just, I mean, it just ate him up and popped it right out to the pitcher in foul territory. And it's like, my God, that's.
Well, everybody took their turn last night. And, yeah. And that's just, it just can't happen. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's on the bump. I mean, and what they do or don't do. If this lineup doesn't swing the bat better than that. And, I mean, like they were 1-for-9. If you're 3-for-9, you're in that ball game, man. I mean, you're right in the heart of that ball game, putting pressure on Atlanta. You know, we're not – I mean, the way it all unfolded, they got behind so quick, it was almost a buzzkill, just sucked all the oxygen out of the room.
2-0.
But
yeah.
but literally, I mean, you're midway through that game, you're down 5 or 6-0, or 5 or 6-1 or 2, somewhere in that range. I mean, you're one swing of the bat multiple times away from being right back in that joker and applying pressure on them. Boy, you can't lose this one. You know, and you never were able to do it. And I put that I put that on the lineup, man. I mean, Fromber's got to get some things right, no question about it. But the bullpen rescued him. The bullpen put the lineup in a position to where they could do their thing. They got ducks on the pond and couldn't get them across the plate. And so this one's on the lineup for me, man.
Clint Sterner, run the show out here on the corner of Crawford and Congress, right in front of the Clydesdales. Come on out and check us out. But with that all being said, Clint, with everything, Fromber only able to get you 6 outs yesterday. The lineup couldn't get a big hit. Guys struggling. But what happened to Charlie Morton yesterday, it feels like to me that the Astros, like, could be, I don't want to say driver's seat because they're down 1-0, but it feels like to me they're in a better spot right now with their pitching situation. Hell, even with the bullpen yesterday, the Braves won that bullpen game, but they used every one of their big bullets. They had all of them. Jackson, Minter, Matzik, and Will Smith. Those are their top bullpen guys that have pitched seemingly every single night. They had to use all four of them. The Astros, even though Fromber sucked, but Fromber can't return in this series, unlike their starter, Charlie Morton. The Astros' bullpen pitched good, but Presley didn't go. Graveman didn't go. They had their two big bullets that the Braves haven't gotten to see yet. So even with everything that happened, when you look at with that injury, it feels like right now if I'm waking up, I got to feel like I'm in a pretty good place right now if I'm the Astros, looking at potentially two bullpen games. And I cannot believe if the Astros lineup that you're talking about gets to see these guys out of the bullpen this many times, that they're not going to get them. That they're not going to be able to get hits. If they get to see them 3 and 4 times over the next 3 games, that they're not going to be able to have success. Because you're right. At that point, a bullpen game, Altuve, Correa, all of them, they can't get it done. I don't care where they hit in the lineup. I mean, you got to tip your cap. Because they should be able to get it done against Atlanta if they're going to have to throw this many games with their bullpen.
Yeah, look, I think the Charlie Morton, injury, obviously, he's out for the World Series. I mean, it's an absolute game changer. I think in a crazy-ass way, you can look at the next 6 games, if you will. I know there may not be 6, but there's 6 left. And I think it's pretty easy to arrive at a place where you can say the Astros have the advantage from a pitching staff's perspective. I mean, the strength of the team in the playoffs, I would say, consistent, if we're talking about consistency for damn sure, is the bullpen and their ability to bail out the starting lineup. And they did it again last night. And so now, even though they're, again, penthouse, outhouse, I mean, that's this starting rotation, you still have 3 starters, and the Braves don't. The Braves have 2. So I think there's definitely, you can arrive at a place where the Astros have the advantage from a pitching standpoint pretty quickly with the Charlie Morton injury. And we'll see how it all unfolds, but I think at least on paper, looking at it, I think that's a safe bet.
It is. So we'll see how they are able to adapt with that. Look at these beauties. Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Higley. Look at these. Do you think they'll take a picture with me?
You talking about them horses over there?
Not the women that are taking the horses out. I wonder if I can run over there and take a picture with them. Probably not. That's probably not.
That is a large... Large animal, son.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that is.
What did you think I was going to say?
I don't know what you were going to say, but I want to make sure you were talking about the horse. I want to make sure you wanted to talk about the horse. Just a few people was giving you looks like, where is he going with this as well? But no, get on out here. Yeah, they've got all kinds of sights for you. Beautiful, beautiful horses out here. It's the Clydesdales. Or here, some news here. I don't know if Max Sharping is responsible for this or not, but Arizona has a huge game coming up on Thursday against the Packers, and former Houston Texan J.J. Watt has been ruled out of the game with a shoulder injury. I don't know if those one-on-one battles against Max Sharping got the best of J.J., and maybe he got injured because Max Sharping was just absolutely taking his ass to the cleaners. But no J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt, the injury bug gets him, which is weird because he's been actually staying healthy here lately, last year and this year. But he faced Max Sharping, Clinton.
Yeah, it ain't got nothing to do with Max, but he made it. He made it through that Texans game. There ain't no way in hell he was going to miss that Joker right there. That's for sure, man. That's on the not necessarily the J.J. Watt front, but that Thursday night football front, Arizona Cardinals, Green Bay Packers, is going to be a hell of a football game, no question.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah. They got no Adams. I'm actually excited to see what Aaron Rodgers does without Devontae Adams. He's potentially going to miss this game. I love to see. I know you don't want to see that. You don't want to hurt, you know, injury or illness on anybody. But I can't. I love to see quarterbacks and great players like Aaron Rodgers to see what the hell he's going to do out of Lazard. I don't even know if I can name. I think they got Lazard. I don't even know if I got any other receivers.
Oh, yeah, you do. Valdez Scantlin.
Is he still there?
Oh, I believe so. Yeah, you know Cobb's there.
Oh, God. Randall Cobb is going to have a hell of a game.
Tight end they got that's jumped on the scene last year and is kicking ass, one of the better tight ends in the game.
I got his name. Tunyon.
Tunyon, that's right.
Is that it?
There you
Tunyon?
Go. See? You're sharper than you think, man. Give yourself a little credit, man.
Randall Cobb I try to forget about. I try to.
I mean, don't hate Randall Cobb just because he came to Houston and messed the bed. I mean, collected a hell of a check and went back to Green Bay, and now he's catching balls and scoring touchdowns.
Shows Army text line. Hey, run over there with those horses and let us know how it works out for you. People are trying to get me arrested out here, man.
I don't think he'd arrest you.
You may go away?
You may spook that horse though and get kicked or something.
And then I think I would get arrested for that.
I don't know. Let's not find out.
If you know, because you don't want to do this by yourself. Tyler's trying to get me, and Jim's in my ear telling me to go. No, I'm not doing that at all. All right, Clint Stoerner, run the show out here in the corner of Crawford and Congress. Get down here and say hello, wave to us, we're having a good time out here. We've been out here every game out here since they've started, and Tyler became correct on his statement when he said, hey, every game we'll be out here, even though he wasn't told yet. But he is right. He could just fill it in his plums, as Tyler would say. All right, Clint Stoerner's Football at 4 coming up. And the NFL commissioner spoke on the Deshaun Watson situation. This is the first time we've heard him speak in a long time on it. And he said some things that will be of real interest to Texans fans who are ready for this saga to be over. We'll let you hear that coming up next.